David Cameron looks ready to axe housing benefit for under 25-year-olds. The Prime Minister's making a major speech today. He's making the case for radical welfare reform. One of the big ideas that he's floating is actually scrapping housing benefit for young people. This is big, big news across the water. It basically means that if under 25-year-olds cannot afford to move out of the family home, they have to stay put. No housing benefit for under 25-year-olds is what's on the cards. He's also expected to say the welfare system is encouraging people to have children but not work, and it makes taxpayers resentful. Charlie Wolfe, the regulars on My Five Live show at the weekend, are going to join us on the big Belfast show this morning. They were arguing about this late into the night last night. Charlie Wolfe and the Bishop, Bishop Stephen Lower, on the line. Morning to you, Charlie.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good morning, Bishop.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It seems only a few hours since we were talking to each other. That's because
it was
only a few hours since we were talking to each other. Well, Charlie Wolfe, what's wrong with this?
There's nothing wrong with it. I mean, first off, just I think a small correction, though I'm always loath to correct you, Stephen. He's not ready to do this. I think he's ready to have a conversation. A lot of this stuff couldn't happen until the next election. It's not going to fly with the manifesto. And I think it's only right and proper that we start a conversation, especially now, to where he can seek a mandate for this. And I think it is something that needs to be addressed. We're spending a lot of money on welfare, and it is getting to the point where hardworking people are saying, wait a minute, this is going beyond being a safety net. Let's examine this and see how we improve it so it's effective and
efficient. Well,
let's
focus on the actual premise of what he's talking about, taking housing benefit away from under 25-year-olds. So, Stephen, this upsets you greatly. Why?
Well, I think this is the return of the nasty party as far as the Conservatives are concerned. This is an attack, actually, not simply on people who are unable to find work, because you've got to bear in mind there are 2.5 million unemployed, and there are more unemployed young people than ever before in British society. But it's actually an attack on people who are working, because housing benefit is given to people who are working, who cannot afford their rents, particularly in areas of high cost of housing. So, for example,
but the government's basically saying, let these people live at home. Let them live with their parents.
Home is not quite Guantanamo. You know, you get mum who's still going to do your laundry. I tell you, I wish I could move back home instead of having to do all the chores I need to
move to a job, say in London, where there's employment, and you can't afford the housing costs. That is actually depriving both the nation and that young person of an opportunity to get work. It's also something that completely ignores the needs of people, for example, leaving the care of the local authorities, where they have no parents, and they rely on housing benefit to begin their life. Now, it's the complete lack of any compassion and understanding, an attack on people who are just labelled as being some sort of underclass, which I find completely offensive, and I think it's a real return to something which I don't like to see emerging within our political world again, a party that lacks any compassion.
I think that's going a bit too far. I think that the party's far from lacking compassion. I think what they're trying to do, though, is to say, wait a minute, you have the capacity to do these things. And right now what the welfare state is doing is it's creating a situation where people do become an underclass, where you have families that haven't worked for generations, don't know how to work, don't want to work, wouldn't even have a clue. It's time to help these people, get them back to work. And part of what you have to do is push them in a sense out of the nest. You have to make them stand on their own.
Yeah, but Charlie, I wouldn't disagree with you about helping those who are actually caught in that cycle of deprivation and, frankly, not working, get back to work. We all agree about that. But the trouble is, this is actually going to attack people who actually need the support, because there's some sort of doctrinaire attitude that people who receive benefits do not deserve them.
Charlie, why focus on under 25-year-olds? Basically, this policy would force under 25-year-olds... Well, first of all, they would lose their housing benefit. The presumption would be that under 25-year-olds would be forced to stay at home with their parents. Why not apply that to 30-year-olds? Why not make 35 and 40-year-olds find accommodation with their relatives? Why are we distinguishing
isolating under...
25-year-olds.
There are some people that are doing it at that age. You know, you do what you have to do. But no, I think it's only fair. 27, 28, about there probably seems like a fair cutoff point. where you know, parents are still
young. So tarnish young people again. Young, hardworking, 18 to 25-year-olds. Tarnish them. Isolate them.
I don't think you're tarnishing them. My mother lived at home until she got married.
And you're taking housing benefit away from them. They're paying as much tax. An 18 to 25-year-old is paying as much tax as a 25 to 60-year-old.
Well, probably not in real terms, considering that
they're paying the same tax rate.
They may pay the same rate, but a 35-year-old is going to have a greater
income. Well, you know what? The same tax rules apply, and yet the same benefits do not come back.
I think this is the problem with the welfare system in this country, just looking again from afar, is that everyone starts bickering about what they have coming to them. And it doesn't solve anything. You know, we need to start getting a society here where people are more worried about what they're putting in.
Let's find out what we think at home about this morning. 0845955678. First call on this, our mad caller. Morning to you.
Hello.
Go ahead.
No, I'm going to say, I'm not talking nonsense. Most, Kelman's brought this in for the simple reason that most under 25s that are claiming rent lands are young girls who leave school, get pregnant before going to work. And then you get more money because they're pregnant, because they've got that child, than they'd ever get at work. And that's what's claiming all the rent. That's the problem. And this is the only way around it.
So, of course, this is going into another part of the policy that Mr. Cameron's going to talk about today. He's going to try to discourage people from having children who can't afford children. In other words, people who have children but do not want to work.
Well, it's got to be a bit serious problem. You know, a lot of youngers are in there taxiing up in the mornings, or taxiing this up, taxiing up. It's more money than they would ever get at work. They wouldn't get that money at work, and that's what the problem is.
I'm sure the Bishop will want to take you on. Go on,
well,
Stephen.
The issue for me is that although I want to encourage people not to get pregnant when they're 15, 16, 17, I want to encourage young people to get jobs and so on where they are available. What I do want to see is that the children of those young people aren't the victims of this particular policy. And frankly, the policy will actually put many more children back into serious child poverty, which we know was something this nation moved away from. And there were very major efforts under the last government to reduce the amount of child poverty in this country. And there was some success in that particular campaign. This government came in on the basis of saying that they wanted to continue that process of removing from people from child poverty. They now seem determined to place many more children into poverty.
But Bishop, can I just jump in very quickly?
Yeah, hold on a minute. You can't blame Cameron for child poverty. It's these young ones that are taking the children into the world. You can't blame him for that. They're taking children in and having the money to rear them and expect the state to rear them.
But if you
That's just what's going on. And you can't blame Cameron for that. That's the parents' side. Take the children, it's their fault. It's not the children's fault to make the property.
But if you actually punish the children for their parents...
But the children wouldn't be punished if these people wouldn't have the children just to get state money.
You're actually taking what sustains...
They're just having the children to get state money. It's just around no one fact.
Over their roofs, over their heads, actually takes that away from them.
Well, you'll hear the Prime Minister talking about this later on today. He's giving a major speech in Kent today. 0845955678. Johnny, you want to speak to Charlie Wolfe this morning. Go on, Johnny.
Okay. I'm just inquiring, Stephen. Hello, Charlie. Not to ignore you there. But I'm inquiring on the basis of an American looking at the British welfare state. Have you not seen the shape of your own country, mate? It's turning into a fascist state, and you're trying to tell us?
Well, I don't know if that's even, you know, has any pertinence to it. I'm just looking at a welfare state here, and a welfare state engenders people not to work. No society is perfect. You know, the United States has a lot that needs to be corrected, too, or, you know...
Maybe that's where we're wrong, but we're too quick to go and advise people in other countries when we should be consolidating and concentrating on our own country.
Well, Johnny, let's look at the policies here. Let's look at what the Prime Minister is talking about here in this country. He says he wants to stop people having kids. Well, he wants to discourage people from having kids who don't want to go out to work to pay
China's
for them.
We're going down China's road. We'll only have so many kids per household, whether you can afford them or not. We're questioning the basis of life.
No, he's not doing that. I think that's a bit over the top. What Cameron is saying...
Our assumption, you can't tell a family how many kids they can have on the basis of finance.
No, what they're saying, John, that's not fair at all. What he's saying is you should be responsible. You know, when my wife and I decided to have children, we thought, can we afford it? and we made large sacrifices. But you know, it came to more kids. We said we can't afford it under the current circumstances.
As you know, Charlie, you know,
have a free for all
where there are large families ending up because men walk away from their responsibilities. And again, once again, the victims of that particular process are the children.
But Bishop, that's
the court
different.
System doesn't exactly help fathers. I have a daughter myself, and I've had issues in the past. So let's be real about it too. Does the court system help fathers where it always looks towards the mother legitimately too? Look at the welfare state, the way it's geared for single mothers. There's a free house. There's your wages. There's this. There's that. I mean, let's be real about it. We've not done most of this to ourselves, but in the same hand, we're voting for parties in government. And it's all the same.
Yeah,
it's the Chuckle Brothers. It doesn't matter who you
vote. Let's hear from the Bishop. Go on, Bishop.
Sorry, the assumption is always around from Cameron and from Charlie that we're talking about society where there is full employment. You know, we know in Northern Ireland the levels of unemployment are very high indeed. They're 2.5 million over the whole of the UK. They're just not the opportunities for people to work. And these proposals are being put out at a time when, frankly, it is not possible to walk into a job.
Correct.
It'd be very difficult to talk about a time of full employment.
Tell me this, Johnny, before you go. What's wrong with one of the other proposals here, which is that under 25-year-olds, they get their housing benefit taken away from them. In other words, they have to live with their parents if they want accommodation, just the same as that people who are out working and finding it really, really difficult to make ends meet, they might need to move in with their parents as well because they can't afford a mortgage if they lose their job. What's wrong with that?
Do you want me to give you one statement, Stephen? The bankers get bailed out and the people get sold out. Fact.
Here's Joe next. Morning, Joe.
Hi, Stephen.
Go on, Joe.
Hi, Stephen. Stephen, I think my take on this is just a cop out the government because a few years back, I looked after my father-in-law. He was ill until he passed away because we couldn't afford to put him in into a home. There was no additional finance came from the government to help us in that situation. And I found myself in a situation where I have three boys who can't leave home simply because there aren't any jobs out there. I had one guy, one son, who was working and lost his job. He's living at home, as indeed are the other two. There isn't any work out there. They can't get jobs. So for that reason, as far as I'm concerned, the government expect me to finance them and look after them. I don't get any additional funds to help in keeping me at home. My wife works and I don't because I'm ill. Yet on the one wage, we have to maintain a house with three adult sons and ourselves. No help from the government whatsoever. I think it's a cop-out to say, stay at home. We can't afford. We haven't got the jobs for you, and we can't afford to keep you. Your parents can, but there's no assistance for the parents. I think it's obviously a disgrace.
Well, I agree, and that's pointing out exactly the problem. But actually, it is the older generation who are actually being forced to cover the government's welfare system because one way or another, they are not providing the employment or the growth to enable people to find work. And I think this is one of at the same time attacking the very people who actually want work and are trying very hard to find jobs, reducing their mobility. They can't now go to places where there's employment may be available because they're not going to get housing benefit. One way or another, this is an attack on those who actually need the support and the help.
I absolutely agree. I just think it's a cop-out with government. Once again, it's just another cost-cutting exercise, and the people who are left to pick up the pieces are, in this instance, the parents.
Well, by taking under 25-year-olds...
children on the street.
By taking under 25-year-olds off housing benefit, it could save £2 billion a year.
But it then puts the pressure on the parents who have to take them back home.
Go on, Charlie.
Well, I mean, whatever happened to the old days when you know, that's what families were there for. You know, that was your support system. I stayed at home after college until I found a job. I mean, if I had to, even though my mother's 88 and I'm 53, if God forbid I needed it, I would go, not maybe to her, I'd go to my older brother. Families rely on family. That's an old tradition. It works. Why shouldn't we be doing it today? They did it in generations past.
And
also, just
a family,
very quickly,
child.
This
what
thing about poverty. The bishop keeps on going on about poverty. You know, I don't think kids are going to be starving. They may have to cut back from one big screen, you know, from two big screens to one big screen. But, you know, people survive poverty. You look at the older generation.
Unreal.
Real poverty, and they're fine today.
The people are not in that situation. If you actually go and see people who are struggling to make ends meet, they are actually worried, as we know, we've seen on some of the work that Stephen Nolan has done over the years. The choices are being made between heat and food for many families, And frankly, the attack on housing benefit is going to make some people...
Yes, but these choices aren't being made.
And there's also, Bishop, there's a large underclass that doesn't know how to take care of themselves. And when the money comes in, when the check comes in, it gets wasted going to McDonald's or KFC or wherever where they're eating crappy processed food. Not that I don't, you know, like it myself. But, you know, look back to the older generation. I was watching an interview with Silla the
other
day.
You know what, Charlie?
Charlie,
you should have a little bit more. You should have a little bit more respect, Charlie, for people who are on benefits. They're, these broad brushstrokes that you tried to portray this morning.
People who get a benefit check.
I'll tell you what. There are lots of people, Charlie Wolfe, who get a benefit check, and what they're actually doing with that is feeding their children, just about paying their bills, and trying to provide heat and light and food for their family. The depiction that you portrayed this morning, that some of them are out wasting it on fast food, is frankly outrageous.
There are some that, as you stated, that are making ends meet and doing the best they can. And I think, again, that's where families and churches and community should step in and try and help your neighbor. And also, yes, government has a role to play. I don't think we're cutting out welfare altogether. You know, Cameron's saying, what is it supposed to be? Let's have a debate here and find out, is it supposed to be a safety net?
Here's Michael this morning. Morning, Michael.
Is it a safety net?
Morning, Michael. Hello, Michael. Michael's not there. Colin. Morning, Colin.
Morning, Stephen. Do you think that guy needs to get a reality check? Talking about people going to McDonald's and using money that they don't have to just have an easy way of life. Because the key thing is the government needs to look at this thing and see this. The people at the top are the people with all the money. We're supposed to be a community and a strong Britain or whatever country you live in. And to be strong, you become strong in business by turning around and starting a business and growing it. But when you come to the point where you have access and you have money more and above that you need, you should be remembering where you came from and you should be remembering those people and turning around and trying to help people on the ladder. And that's what the government should be doing.
I disagree with Colin. I mean, he's right in principle, and you will find. But I don't think it's the job of the government. You will find that the rich are generally the ones who are giving tons to charity, setting up charitable foundations. A lot of the stuff we benefit from today, museums, art galleries, etc., programs, were all instituted voluntarily by the rich. I mean,
Charlie, this isn't about museums. It's about museums. Museum doesn't feed people.
Yeah, but there's also, I had a cancer charity I went to. My son's in a school. I go to these charity dinners where the rich come in and they open their checkbooks and they give generously. And that wouldn't be there without their help.
It's not about giving. It's about putting a system into place where you create employment again.
Oh, I agree.
You have to remember where you came from. And, like, for example, bankers. The bankers are getting mega wages, okay? Their wages should be cut in half. They should do the same job for what they do now, right? And that should create another job behind them.
And I want
going down the ladder, so you're then releasing money to the bottom to create jobs.
I couldn't agree more.
It's
I want
responsibility.
Are you saying maybe we should take, well, I was going to say Rooney, but based on his performance last night, but, you know, are you saying for the $3 million you pay Rooney, we should get two players for $1.5 million who aren't as good? You know, for one Beckham, we can get 10
We're 3 million. I don't believe any football should be getting £3 million. I believe there should be a cap on football. Any footballer's getting...
But then, Colin, the market isn't free anymore. This is called the free market. You know,
listen, Charles. There's a free market, and then there's ridiculous.
But wait a minute.
No, there's Arabs.
These guys ain't taking it. The Football Association or the employer is giving it to them because they see the value. A banker gets the money he gets because the board of directors is voluntarily giving it to him because they see the value in what he and only he can do.
The banker gets the money for solving a problem, right? But the point is he gets the money because people down the lane below him can't solve the problem.
Well, listen, you're talking, Colin, about people...
Have the people behind them.
All right, Colin, you're talking about people down the line. Just before you two go, Charlie and the Bishop, let me move on to another story it's been in the papers over the last couple of days. I know it was in some of the national papers today again, And it is the government's crackdown on wealthy people who are using all types of tax avoidance schemes in order to reduce their tax. Charlie Wolfe, anything wrong with that? Anything wrong with someone on a few hundred grand a year trying to pay 1 or 2% tax?
I think, what's his face, Carr was a hypocrite because he was lambasting the system and then taking advantage of it. And Cameron was a hypocrite as well. It's legal. As long as it's legal, I think you have a duty to protect your wealth, your own personal welfare and your income by taking every available loophole and scheme that is available to you as long as it is legal.
So you have no moral responsibility?
Your moral responsibility is to pay whatever your legal tax is. So again, if you're taking a loophole and it's illegal...
Well, the whole point about morality is it doesn't require legality.
Well, but again, I don't think the tax system is necessarily a moral system.
Stephen?
To me, a moral system is a way to the charities.
But there's a moral obligation on people to make their proper contribution to our society. And frankly, a government that is allowing people to get away with this sort of tax avoidance and not closing down the loopholes is, in my view, behaving in an immoral way. It's an issue of justice. I do not see why somebody who is earning £1 million or even £500,000 shouldn't be paying the same amount of tax into percentage terms as I am paying. But loopholes are being created, avoidance has become an industry, and frankly, that is disgusting in this society. At the same time,
the reason avoidance is happening is because taxes are too high. Bishop, what should be happening is your tax should be as low as theirs.
Yeah, but one second. But Stephen, though, what is disgusting about people working within the law to pay the minimum amount of tax possible? Is that not human nature to try to pay as little as possible into the tax and keep as much money as possible for yourself and your family if you're going out to work for it? What's disgusting about that is that
we have a system that allows the rich to pay a lot less in percentage tax than people who are, frankly, working as ordinary salary earners, wage earners, and so on. We pay PAYE. We are paying 22-25% of our income. These guys getting away with 1% of their income, that is outrageous.
But hold on a minute, Stephen.
Frankly, to have a society where we have a government which is allowing that at the same time as attacking the poor, I find morally disgusting.
1%, Stephen, is at one extreme, right? But do you think there's anything wrong with a wealthy person on a few hundred grand a year, a few million a year, whatever, trying to reduce their tax bill, avoid paying tax? Remember, tax avoidance is legal, tax evasion is illegal. Now, what is wrong with someone on a few hundred grand a year, or indeed a few million a year, saying to their tax advisor, saying to their accountant, minimise my tax bill and simply ensure that it's all legal? What's wrong with that?
What is wrong, Stephen, is the system that allows that to happen.
But is there anything to question the character of the wealthy people who are attempting to do it?
I find a government that is allowing that sort of tax.
You're ducking the question, industry. Stephen. You're ducking the question. The individuals are being pilloried.
The system has been in place for years. You can't blame it on the Conservative government. You didn't see Labour doing
anything. It's about time that we actually recognise offshore tax havens and the sort of tax avoidance methods that have been devised by the rich for the rich need to stop.
But Stephen,
you can't attack the poor and at the same time allow the rich to be paying less tax than they should be.
But
and
Stephen,
we have got a society
Stephen
that
Lowe,
is going to get very angry
Stephen
about
Lowe,
the way in which
Stephen,
the rich are getting away with it.
Stephen, you're ducking a question. You keep on talking about the government. I understand why. But it is some rich people who are currently being pilloried. It's the rich people who are being targeted individually. The likes of Jimmy Carr has been plastered all over the papers day in, day out. Now, he tried to reduce his tax bill to 1%. And most decent people would say, well, look, that's at the very, very extreme end. I put the point to you again. If you have a wealthy person that says to their accountant, minimise my tax bill, try to get it down from 50% to 40% to 35%, whatever, is there anything wrong with that if he's working within the law?
Well, Stephen, probably there's nothing wrong legally, but I actually think there is a moral responsibility on people to pay, make their proper contribution to society. And if I have the money, which I undoubtedly have if I'm earning that sort of money, I would like to feel that I am making my proper contribution to the society in the same way as my fellow.
But isn't your proper contribution what the law requires?
Bishop, what are you, when you talk
and they're spending a lot of money on paying accountants to devise ways.
Accountants aren't that expensive. I use when I set up a trust fund
about morality.
I set up a trust fund when my son was born, so I'd have to pay as little tax as possible on savings for his college account. Now, what is the greater good? Should I be giving it to the people through tax, or should I be insuring my son's education?
Well, Charlie, I mean, that's a matter for you to make a moral decision about, but the issue for me is, are you, as an individual, making your proper contribution to the tax system of this country, not in terms of designing this that you minimize everything, but compared with people who are paying PAYE, are you playing your proper part? And it's quite clear that a large number in our society were not.
Okay, 0845955678. Here's Jim. Morning, Jim.
Good morning, Stephen. Well, I was going to say the same thing. People who are on the PAYE system will never be able to pay less tax than they want to. It's impossible. Anybody who's outside that, who employs a good accountant, can pay little tax, and it's legal. But just on another point, Mr. Cameron is great at saying different things, but he should get his own house in order. There are 22,000 upper-grade civil servants who have opted out and started their own company. So their salary is paid into their company, and they don't pay the full amount of taxes on it. So if you're a civil servant, you're a public servant, you shouldn't be allowed to get away with it.